All right, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Toonami Therapy. I had a really killer funny joke that I was going to open this up with, but we're kind of in a hurry for this week, so unfortunately we'll have to go without it. All right, so, well, let's just get right into it. Dragon Ball Super Episode 50. So, Goku Black has followed them to the past, which is the present for us, but the past for them, time travel gets confusing. And so then he fights, Goku, and, yeah, there's a bunch of fighting, in the episode, and, on, let me think. So, you know,
Yeah, lots of Beerus and, Whis making comments during the fight.
Yeah. Basically, Goku's able to, it seems about even, but this is before he goes into whatever new version of Super Saiyan he has. I cannot remember their names. Super Saiyan Blue or whatever. So then the Goku Black ends up going kind of back to his future because time travel stuff. I don't know. Anyway, Bulma manages. But Goku Black destroyed the time machine, and then it's on fire, and then for some reason everyone just kind of stares at it until Pilaf and his gang just shows up to try to actually put it out with water. It's kind of funny, because I was thinking, why don't they just try to put it out with water and maybe salvage something? And then he actually does that. Yeah. But anyway, so Bulma finds the old time machine that I think Cell came up back through and is planning to try to use it so they can go back into the future to fight him. And yeah, that's kind of it.
Yeah. I thought it was an okay episode, at least.
Yeah. This was one I did have to watch subbed because I was trying to watch some of the episodes ahead of time because I was not able to watch anything this weekend. And I'm just going to say, Goku's Japanese voice is so weird sounding. It sounds like Naruto. Young Naruto, basically. Mm-hmm. That's legitimately what his Japanese voice sounds like. And I was just like, what? All right. That's my biggest commentary, that his voice sounds really weird in Japanese. All right. But yeah, it was okay. There are a few funny bits, and we at least did get to see, you know, a little bit of fighting that wasn't great, but was still okay. All right, so in terms of one where honestly even less happened when you get down to it, Dragon Ball Z Kai episode 149. So Gohan appears, and he's really strong, and he's able to beat up beat up Boo. But then Boo, like, tries to get some big explosion that makes Gohan grab everyone else and go away. And then they realize that Dende's not actually dead, and he kind of got thrown off by Mr. Popo to keep the Dragon Balls around. And they pick up Hercule along the way, and then Boo shows up again. So really all that happened was that we established that Dende's alive.
Yeah. Not much happened here. What episode number was this episode?
149.
And there's, what, 159 total?
There's, yes.
All right. That means we're getting closer to the end.
Mm-hmm. I did want to mention one thing, though, that I noticed. So, because the original dub version of this episode had a line that sort of went memetic. Not like nearly to the extent of over 9,000, but I had to mention it because you probably never heard of it. So in this episode, after Gohan mentions, getting the Dragon Ball Scouter, and then I think like Trunks says that he gave it to Piccolo, and Piccolo says, that's true. I do have the radar in case we can still use it. But Gohan, we lost Dende when the lookout was destroyed, and without him there are no Dragon Balls, just lifeless rocks. Now here's how that was translated in the original dub. Piccolo says, yeah, that's right, but I think it's in my other pants pocket. Only it doesn't make a bit of difference, guys. Dende's gone, remember? The balls are inert. So, yeah. I had completely forgotten about that until I saw the scene. I'm like, oh yeah, this is the scene where he said that line in the original dub. All right. Black Clover, episode 9. So they go there and they fight, and they get rid, and they fight up, and they manage to capture some of the boars, and then we get a flashback. And then they actually go to the village so the plot can actually start. where they, you know, discover the villagers all being held captive by the evil guy who is, I don't think he said what his actual goal with this is yet, but Asta and Magna are, you know, trying to fight the guy while protecting the villagers, and, you know, but they're kind of running out of power. And then Noelle, you know, who's kind of not really doing much because of trouble controlling her magic, suddenly decides, oh yeah, this is a great time for a big character moment for me. I'm a magic knight, and I should help the people, so I will go and fight with them. That's the episode.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it ends right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I thought it was...
I thought it was pretty good, actually.
Mm-hmm. I liked it. I didn't really care for Magna's big flashback, partially because that was actually filler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
although, I don't know, maybe it's something that the author of the manga did have in mind for him, but just never mentioned yet, so maybe it was an incorporation of that sort of thing, in which case it's okay, but it still did just kind of feel thrown in. All right. So yeah, decent episode. I had some good action, especially in the second half. The first half, like I mentioned, was a little boring, but the stuff with them actually him asked to trying to get to Boars was kind of amusing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So JoJo episode 24. So everyone, so they're going to try to get out of the submarine and get scuba equipment. And initially, there's initially some trouble because Polnareff's equipment turns out to actually be the High Priestess in disguise, but they're able to, you know, fight it off and get her out of him after it tries to infest him and get out. But then they find, so then they're just, you know, kind of swimming along to try to get to the coast. But then the High Priestess merges with the seabed and kind of sucks them in, and like, so it's got this giant face now and it sucks them all in. And and basically it looks like Jotaro is going to be crushed between its teeth, but Star Platinum just, you know, breaks through them and then breaks all the other teeth. And there's a dental joke in there somewhere. Anyway, because of that, they're able to get out of there and, you know, make it to the store, and they find the stand user who we don't actually see, but Polnareff finds, like, looks at her and says, I want to see if she's hot. And then, like, just says, don't look at her. Her teeth are terrible. Because, you know, they were destroyed and such. That's it for this episode. Next is Stardust Crusaders, A Battle in Egypt, the second part of the season.
So it's kind of like a whole new season.
It's still like, you know, an adaptation of part 3 of the manga, but it, for whatever reason, they did split the season up into two parts. I think the next one, you know, as its title takes place, the season so far was getting to Egypt, and now they're going to be in Egypt and try to find Dio.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good episode this week.
Yeah, I did.
Jotaro actually did something for the first time.
I thought you were going to make a comment on that. Yeah, I did like it, although I will say the one issue I had is that in him, the way he defeats it, you know, just by breaking the teeth, it usually there's like more of a strategy to it, but in this case it's just, hey, I'm able to punch hard enough to break out of this. But other than that, yeah, it's good. I'm definitely looking forward to the rest of the season. All right, so then we're on to Iron-Blooded Orphans, episode 40. So, Naze's all on the run and stuff, and Orga wants to help him, but can't really without putting all of Tekken in danger. But he's still able to get through some loopholes to send a few of the guys to try to help him against that Eok guy, Eok's honestly been so stupid and annoying that at this point, it's not enough for him to die. He has to, like, somehow be super humiliated and then die for me to be satisfied. But yeah, so there's a big battle, and ultimately, the basic end result is that Naze and, I can't remember her name. The main woman who's with him, I think she was the same person. It's voiced by the same person who voiced Michiko from Michiko and Hachin. Anyway, they both are killed in the process, but managed to, actually, inflict damage and get everyone else to safety.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I thought this was actually a pretty decent episode.
Yeah, I thought so too. Particularly because of what happens at the very end there, that was actually a pretty surprising mm-hmm. outcome. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It was actually fairly emotional. And I also noticed there's almost no politics in this episode. It's just simple. These are the good guys. These are the bad guys. They fight. We didn't need to understand why that about like filing form 28A and how that affects the alliance on Earth.
Or the what was that thing called in Unicorn? The box of something.
Oh, the Laplace's box.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, that was mentioned so many times throughout that season, and then at the end, and then you find out, and it's just like the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, a pretty good episode for Iron-Blooded Orphans. I guess we go to Hunter Hunter next. Episode 83.
Yeah. Oh. So. I didn't review this on my blog yet, so I'm having a hard time remembering exactly what happens, but what I remember is that Gon and Killua and Kite go and find some ants, and they decide to have one-on-one battles with them, and Gon beats the one ant pretty easily. Killua beats the next ant even more easily, and Kite beats them even more easily than he did. And so they're trying to get to the queen before she can give birth to the king, because if she gives birth to the king, well, that would tack on another 50 episodes to the arc. So we don't want that to happen. This arc will become way too long if she gives birth to the king. So please get there in time. Okay, so we can have a reasonably timed arc. But we know what's going to happen, okay? Yeah, so it wasn't a bad episode. I'm not sure if it was my favorite of the week, but at least it was pretty good.
Yeah, you covered it pretty well. The other big thing was that, like, the Hunter organization has been tasked with getting rid of the Chimera ants.
Oh, right, yeah.
It was kind of amusing to see Kite once again complain about his, like, ability. Only got a roll two, that's a bad one. Although, I noticed it gave him a scythe. And while scythes are often used because, they're kind of cool, they're actually an absolutely terrible weapon when you look at them. They're so unwieldy, and they actually aim, like, towards you.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I guess it's the same thing as why giant robots that are human shapes are actually pretty bad when you think about it, but they just use them all in Gundam and other series. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so Naruto, episode 191. They meet an old guy and go on an adventure with him. The end.
Wait a minute. Wait, what happened? Wait, I'm sorry. I looked away for 1 second, and you said that.
Wait, am okay. I looking? Wait, am I, or was? Wait, did I get the episode wrong? This was the one where they were, where Naruto goes on that mission, and there's that really old guy who's still a genin?
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. I actually was like, I looked at something, and you said that so fast, I missed the joke. And now I get the joke, but I'm sorry for ruining the timing of your joke. But that happens. And how much more filler is this the thing you refer to as filler hell?
Oh, no. We filler hell was quite a while ago.
Oh, okay.
Filler hell was a term for when, you know how there's Naruto and there's Naruto Shippuden.
Right.
And they're separated by basically a time skip that happened in the manga. The filler hell was that before they got to Shippuden, there was this super long stretch of filler that just went on and on before they went to Shippuden. And it was called that not only because it was so long, but because no one really had any idea when it was ever going to actually end.
Yeah.
Like, there's all this speculation, like, so often, are we almost done? Are we almost done? Are we almost done with the filler? But let me see. I think we've got 6 episodes of filler left.
Oh, that's good. That isn't too bad.
Okay. All right. So, moving on. Space Dandy episode 3.
Yeah, this episode had the line of the night. We'll get to it.
Oh, I don't know what you're actually... Now I'm wondering what you're going to refer to, but... So... Basically, they're still trying to find aliens to get money, but Danny wants to go to the nearest boobies restaurant because he has enough on his point card, but there's not one close enough before the card expires. So he decides to use like the hyperdrive, even though it's broken, and they just end up on this world where they're being attacked by where a bunch of monsters show up and they have to run away from them. And then they find this this girl, and they try to help her out with a spaceship. But it turns out that the monsters were actually trying to warn them about her because she turns into a giant monster and then eats Meow. And then Dandy and QT just fly off. And Dandy's like, well, too bad. We gotta go on. And QT's like, doesn't he have I just said what it was called and I forgot what it was, the point card. And Daddy's like, turns around and starts saying, we'll never leave anyone behind. And, so then they end up defeating it because they bought all this really bad food cheaply. So they just make it eat all of that to defeat it. And then it turns out to be a new monster. So they actually get a bunch of money for, it. And Danny's like, and all we lost was a point card. QT goes, didn't we lose something else? And that's the end of the episode.
Well, my favorite line of this episode is whenever he goes, it's a booby monster, run! it was so funny the way he said it. It was like, it's a booby monster. It was just like so ridiculous. And I was like, that's great. That was fantastic. That made me laugh so hard. I was like, a booby monster. I mean, seriously, that's good stuff. This episode actually has proven to me that maybe I didn't give the first episode a fair shake. So, this is actually not that bad. So
okay, yeah, I liked it also. I'm look, if I remember correctly, the next episode is really good. So I'm going to look forward to that. I hope I'm remembering things right, though. Okay, so that was Space Dandy, and we'll close then on Outlaw Star episode 21. So they go to that place where they thought there was the information about the galactic ley line. But then there's not, they don't really end up finding anything useful. They just get attacked by the McDougal brothers again. And then they, you know, fight them off and manage to escape. And then that weird scientist guy contacts them and says that he, there's some guy in prison who actually does have the coordinates to the ley line. And he's telling them that, you know, you have to go there and get the information from him, and he's not allowed visitors. And Jean is like, no, I don't want to go through that again. I don't want to. I'm trying to think of a joke on how to make on the series Prison Break, and I'm blanking on it. like he says, like, no, I don't want to do that. Everyone knows the series got really bad after the first season. I'll go there and I'll break out, and then this show will be bad also. I don't want to do it. And but then the guy reveals he actually made the ship and Melfina, so he uses some code thing to shut her down until Gene is willing to go and do that for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this episode wasn't my favorite. Mm-hmm. It was kind of bland. And, for some reason, I had a dream about that you were asking me a question about Twilight Suzuka. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what the question was or why you were asking it, but you asked me a question about Twilight Suzuka. And I'm trying to come up with the answer, but I don't even know what you asked me. So, so anyway, yeah, this episode was okay, I guess. Hopefully, I prefer more of the humorous stuff, and this one was kind of just a little too serious.
Well, I think my problem with the episode was when you look at it, okay, so the McDougal brothers are back, but what really is accomplished narrative-wise? I mean, it looks like the younger one got, like, really injured somehow, so maybe more of his body will be replaced by robotics or something. Maybe that's the point of that, but it still just kind of felt like we didn't really, like, they followed up a lead to find out there wasn't anything useful there, and then some guys attacked, and then and we didn't really get that much more out of them that we didn't have established before. It just kind of felt mostly like reiterating points we already knew. There was some decent character stuff, especially, you know, when Gene was talking to Suzuka, that was good. But other than that, it did kind of mostly feel like, you know, an episode that was sort of repeating stuff we already knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So that's all of them. I guess we can go for our top three of night then. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. My top one would be Black Clover, and then JoJo second place, and then Hunter x Hunter third place.
Okay. Mine would be JoJo first place. Surprise, surprise. Black Clover in second, and in what's actually in what was a bit of an upset for me, I would actually put Iron Blooded Orphans in third place. I did actually really enjoy this episode. Now, to be fair, maybe I'm sort of I might be more lenient towards it because I'm kind of grading on a curve, and it was like, wow, this was an episode I actually enjoyed much better than normal. So, but yeah, that would be my choices, I think.
All right. Okay,
so I guess that's it, unless you had anything else to add.
No, I don't have anything else left for Yeah, that's it.
All right. So, once again, you can find all of our previous episodes at tunamitherapy.podbean.com or tommyaphillips.com. We usually try to get these things up around Wednesday, but sometimes it's later, like this week. And I guess that's everything. So, we'll see you next time.